To introduce this episode of An American Gallery, here is Bob Hope.
Thank you very much. I want you to all know that I'm honored to be part of An American Gallery, even though I'm not being saluted myself. But I have to confess, I don't mind losing out to the talents of Will Rogers. No, they called him the cowboy philosopher. He was part Indian and part cowboy. Will Rogers never carried a gun and never killed a thing except audiences. He slayed them. I mentioned Will Rogers to some young soldiers once and found it hard to believe they'd never heard of this great American humorist. Of course, most of them were born 10 years after he died. But anybody over 40 remembers Will Rogers, especially during the early 30s. When Will Rogers died in 1935, laughter took a holiday and the whole world shared America's loss. To all the monuments erected in his memory, we offer one more tribute.
Will Rogers, cowboy, philosopher, humorist, saluted this week on An American Gallery. Pat Buttram stars as Will Rogers in The Man Everybody Liked.
Okay, folks, I think we can begin our tour now. Will Rogers and his family moved into this California ranch house, which Will had built in 1928. Now, we're standing on the front porch. And if you look straight ahead there, you will see the polo field, which is still used by the Will Rogers Polo Club. Let's step through the front door now. And we see the kind of living room we might expect a man like Mr. Rogers to build. Will had Indian blood in him. As a matter of fact, his birth is recorded in the records of the Cherokees. And you can see by the decor, he never lost interest in his Indian heritage. That's a Navajo rug there. It's quite valuable. And on the walls and the balcony, you can see hundreds of other items right out of our Western folklore. Of course, Will loved horses and roping, even when he was still drinking his milk from a baby bottle. He liked the outdoors, but he didn't like school. This bothered his father, who was a well-to-do rancher with a good education. He was known throughout the Oklahoma Territory where Will was born as Uncle Clem. Yes, Uncle Clem worried a lot about his son's education, or lack of it.
Willie! Willie!
Look at that doggy, Paul! As wriggly and slippery as a greasy worm.
Will you get off that horse and come over here?
I got that trick worked out. I'll be pleased to show you, Paul, if you got a minute.
Never mind.
Eddie says he ain't never seen nobody do that.
Never mind!
Yes, sir.
Let's walk down to the barn. The new plow come in. Well, you're practically a man. You can't make your livelihood out of tomfoolery and roping. Well, what are you going to do? Now, tell me, son, what are you going to do?
Well, I ain't give it much thought, Paul.
That's not what Dick Parrish says.
Dick, you talk to him?
Come here, Willie.
Yes, sir?
You're my only son now, Willie. Don't you know what that means to man? I want something special for you, like your mother did. Here, so rest. You can't get it with the kind of grades I saw in that report card the school sent.
Paul, about Dick Perry.
Why did I have to hear it from him first, Willie?
Well, I wasn't going to tell you. I was just going to leave and write you. I was afraid if I told you to your face, I'd get the feeling so mean about leaving Oklahoma, I'd never go. But, Paul, I got me a wanderlust that just beats at my brain till I think I'm going to bust.
But, Willie, Argentina? That's half a world away. I had to look on a map to remind me where it was.
Well, there's opportunity down there, Paul. Lots of it for men that know cattle and riding.
There's opportunity here in the territory where you were born. This is your home, Willie. Do you think for one little minute you're going to find anything like it in Argentina?
Well, that's just it, Paul. I don't know. And I got to find out. The steel in that plow never would have made its mark on this earth if it had just stayed rooted in the same ground another million years. And I got the gall darndest feeling that I'm the same way. My dear father, I guess I will get away from this country.
Amen.
About the 3rd of August. I've given this Argentina a trial, and I know it's no better, or for that matter, any other place any better than the United States.
Just like your pa said.
You don't know how good your country is till you get away from it.
Underline that, Will. Underline it.
I hope you don't think I'm no good because I don't keep my money. When Dick and I got work here, we only made $7 a month. But I enjoy life, and that's my policy. Dick is real homesick, so he decided not to go to South Africa with me. You can address my mail to me at Cape Town, care of the American Consul, South Africa. With all my love to a loving father, Willie.
You're crazy. Do you know that, Will? You're as homesick as I am.
Yeah. And when I'm home, I get travel sickness.
And when you travel, you get seasick. Oh, you'll be on that boat 25 or 30 days, and you'll be so sick you won't be able to tend to the cattle. It just don't seem right. Night watchman for 500 head of cattle, 700 hardtail mules, 400 horses, and a flock of woolly sheep.
Well, with a menagerie like that on deck, who's gonna know I'm seasick?
On this wall, there's a picture of Will and some of the other people who crossed the Atlantic on the Kelvin side. That was the name of the cattle boat. As it turned out, that trip made a big change in Will's life. And the chances are, I wouldn't be guiding folks like you through the Rogers Ranch here if Will hadn't made the crossing. Well, after he got there, Will was hired to lead mule drives. After one of the drives, Will ended up in Johannesburg. And he saw this sign that probably had him a hooping and a hollering. And the sign said, Texas Jack's Wild West Show. And an hour after he saw it, Will Rogers had started his career in show business.
Excuse me, friend, but a fellow over there tells me you're Texas Jack.
Yeah, that's right. What can I say? Wait a minute. Say that again, partner.
Well, I just said, friend, that...
That's enough! Ha ha! You're an American.
Yes, sir. Indian Territory, Oklahoma.
I played that territory. You must have seen the show.
No, sir, I'm afraid I didn't.
Well, what's the matter, boy? Ain't your family got no culture? Huh? Well, no matter, no matter. From the looks of you, I reckon it's how you're looking for a job.
Yeah, I guess poverty speaks in a pretty loud voice.
Well, can you handle a rope?
Some.
Here. Catch. Okay, show me.
Well, I can do a crinoline. At least that's what we called it back in Claremore. I start out like this, with a real small loop, you see, and I keep playing it out like this till it gets so big that I've used up all the rope like this.
You want a job, you got it.
You mean roping?
You do anything else?
No, not much of anything.
Well, I ain't got no contracts. To me, a handshake's as binding as anything. You get $20 a week and the use of a sleeping car at night. Meals are on you. Deal?
Yes, sir. It's a deal.
Put her there.
Thank you very much, sir. Is something wrong?
You're good! I didn't get your name.
Will Rogers.
Well, you're good, Will. And now that you're working for me, I might as well tell you. I got a standing reward of 50 English pounds to anyone that can do the crinoline rope trick. Except, of course, if he comes to work for me. It's right on that sign out front.
Paul always told me I ought to do more reading.
All right, now listen.
He's gonna figure a villain for you. Mm. You know, like Buffalo Will. No, that's kind of a cheat.
I got it. The Cherokee Kid. Fancy lasso artist and rough rider. How you like it?
Just fine.
I'm going to tell you something, Cherokee Kid. You're good, but I'm better. I can outshoot Buffalo Bill, and I can outride any man in Texas. Now, when it comes to a rope, I am the best. Now, you stick with me, and I'll make you second best. Second best, huh? How's that sound to you?
Almost good enough.
Almost. Get him, almost. All right. I'll make you second best. And it's up to you to make yourself number one.
My dear Fonder, my 9 months with Texas Jack in South Africa sure helped me with the Wirth Brothers Circus here in Australia. The Wirths have made me feel like a son. We're leaving in the morning for New Zealand, and I'll finish this letter from there. Don't get excited when you look on the map and see where we're heading. The town we're playing is called Wellington. I'll be in this part of the world a few more months, and then I'm heading home around this old globe to see if it really is round. I can't wait to see you all, but I'm worried about getting sick across the whole Pacific. I started out traveling first class, and then I traveled second class, and then third class. And when I was companion to these she-cows, that might be called no class at all. I will write soon again to a loving father from your loving son, Willie. You know, next to you, Paul, and you too, Betty, I think the thing I missed most moving around the world was this good old homemade chili.
I'm sure, Willie, that Miss Blake is as flattered as I am to be missed as much as a bowl of chili.
Oh, no offense.
Oh, my mother always says the way a man's heart is to his stomach.
Well, why in the name of thunder haven't you been cooking for Will these past 5 years you've known him?
Oh, well, Uncle Clem, Will hasn't sat still long enough for me to get a dish of food in front of him.
Maybe he'll get some sense in his head and stay put for a change.
Well, Pa, I'm making $125 a week.
What?
Heavens.
That's downright indecent. Getting big money for saying the same things you got demerits for saying at school.
Paul, people like to laugh.
Laugh? You want to sit there and tell me they're laughing at your rope tricks?
Oh, not exactly. It was kind of an accident. I reckon folks don't hear country boys talk on the stage much.
What? You talk?
Oh, whatever could you say?
Well, this actor thought if I explained the trick I was going to do before I done it, people would be more interested. So I went out, I said something like, folks, I'm going to call your attention to something in this act worth looking at. And that's to catch both horse and rider at one and the same time. If I'm lucky, and I'm not sure I'm going to be. Well, I didn't think it was so funny either, but they laughed.
Go on. Might as well hear all about my son's public disgracing of the family name.
Well, you might think this is a little funny. Audiences did. You see, I kept missing these tricks. And they got my name on a sign sitting on the side of the stage there. Will Rogers. So I was chewing gum. That's something else I started doing. Folks seemed to like it. Anyway, after I kept missing the tricks, I took out my gum, and I walked over to the sign and spread my gum over the W in Will. You see, I covered the W.
Well, that left the word ill, yeah. Like in sick.
That's right.
I'd say sick is exactly right.
Paul, now, Betty, you got to understand, I played Hammerstein's Victoria Theater, and that's the biggest vaudeville house in America.
Well, I'm sure it's some kind of house.
Oh, hey.
cake.
Oh, that's pretty good. I mean, the apples don't fall far from the tree.
Now, son, tell me you're joshing us. Tell me you're through with all this nonsense and coming home to run the ranch. Tell me you're going to cleanse yourself by doing an honest day's work and behaving like an American.
Paul, you're just making one of your political speeches.
Nobody ever laughed at him either. Now, give me an answer, Willie.
Well, Paul, I'm pretty good at jokes, but awful bad at answers.
Well, perhaps, mind you, I said perhaps, if you told us something that would make us laugh, we'd understand better. Will, for me, please, try to make us understand.
Well, one time, now this got a real big laugh. I was supposed to jump inside the loop of my rope, and I completely missed. No, they didn't laugh then. It was when I said, well, I got all my feet through but two, and that's when they laughed. And then I said, I only got jokes for one miss. Looks like I either got to practice up and be a better roper or learn more jokes.
Will writes me he's now getting $150 a week.
Just doesn't seem right.
Folks, I missed roping him on the nose. Let's see if I can't throw one on his tail. missed again. This rope might hang on if somebody's got some glue they could lend me.
You know, Betty, I've been doing some figuring. Now, people are spending lots of money to see Will. The managers ain't paying them enough.
Well, now that you put it that way.
I'll get this trick yet, folks. I ain't giving up because there's still hope. I suppose if there was a little better roping and a lot less hoping, we'd get out of here earlier tonight.
Of course, you can't always believe what you're reading in the newspapers, but I reckon as how my boy Willie is doing mighty fine in the theater.
And you always wanted him to be a big man in business.
Right over here, folks, is a painting of Betty Blake. She became Mrs. Will Rogers the day before Thanksgiving in 1908. 3 years later, Will Rogers Jr. was born, and the following week, Will's father, Uncle Clem, passed on. And the Rogers had two more children during the next few years, Mary and James. And, of course, all this time, Will was getting more and more popular. He went from vaudeville to Broadway plays. But in those years, you weren't really at the top unless you worked for the man who gave Will this picture window right over here, Lawrence Ziegfeld. Yes, in those days, the Ziegfeld Follies were the biggest thing in show business. But Mr. Ziegfeld and Will didn't hit it off at first. And Will had to prove himself before he ever got on the main stage.
Well, Mr. Ziegfeld, good to see you again. Hope you had a nice trip.
Do you always dress that way?
Oh, except maybe when I'm sleeping or taking a bath. Say now, I must have sent you that note about a raise for me just before you left.
I've been informed you're still working in my midnight frolics upstairs.
You didn't know?
I left instructions you were to be fired, Will.
Fired? What'd I do?
You didn't make me laugh.
Oh, I see. Mr. Ziegfeld, you think that matters? I mean, seeing as how you ain't one of the paying customers?
You don't seem upset.
I don't believe in getting riled. And besides, I've changed the act quite a bit in the last few weeks. Betty, that's my wife, She gave me the idea of talking about things in the newspaper, sort of giving my ideas on the news. And it's been going on pretty good. Just the kind of thing you need for the Follies.
You in the Follies?
It's kind of an ambition of mine, Mr. Ziegfeld.
Oh, I take it all back. You can make me laugh. And no comedian's ever done that.
Well, I seen the latest edition, Mr. Ziegfeld. I think a few laughs might spark it up a bit.
I want girls in the Ziegfeld Follies, Will, not gags. What could you do on a stage full of beautiful women?
Oh, I'd think of something.
Well, I'll catch you at the Frolics show tonight.
Then you'll consider moving me into the Follies?
Will, I'm a busy man.
Yes, sir, Mr. Ziegfeld. I'll be on the way. And I'll see you at the midnight show.
Will.
Yes, sir?
As I said, nothing personal. It's just that I don't laugh at comedians.
Well, now, I ain't rightly a comedian. I'm just a country boy trying to get along. And I've been eating pretty good, and the reason is I intend staying a country boy.
Well, just so we understand each other.
I never met a man I didn't like, Mr. Ziegfeld. And I sure don't intend starting as you. Good morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, the newest star of the Ziegfeld Follies.
And the ugliest.
Will Rogers.
Thank you. Well, thank you. I'm glad you're applauding now, because there ain't no telling what you'll do after I'm through. Did you see the papers today? I read where Henry Ford just suggested sending a peace ship over to Europe with a group of people there that'd get the boys out of the trenches by Christmas and have them home in time to welcome in 1916. Well, if Mr. Ford will take this bunch of girls we got here tonight and let them wear the same clothes they do here and march them down between the two lines of trenches, I can guarantee they'll be out of them trenches before Christmas.
Will Rogers once said that the three biggest things that ever happened to him as far as his career was concerned were when he joined Texas Jack's Wild West show over in South Africa, first time he talked on a stage, and when he joined the Ziegfeld Follies. Of course, you all know how Will went on to acting in the movies, doing a radio show, and writing a newspaper column. And he enjoyed all of it, because he enjoyed people. And Will never lost the wanderlust. Right after he finished his last movie, Steamboat Round the Bend, he really got itching to travel again.
Better take me an extra long pair of underwear. I hear tell it's so cold in Alaska they eat ice cream to warm up.
Oh, Will, you know how I feel about this trip.
Betty, you ain't got nothing to worry about. I've done lots of flying, but never with a pilot as good as Wiley Post.
He's put Alaska, Siberia.
Wiley's had a special plane built, a gas tank in each wing. Well, if we run out of gas, all he's got to do is just pull a little old handle and the gas starts running in from the other tank. Now, help me close this suitcase.
But is that all you're taking?
Well, you know I ain't much for packing. Yeah. I got to be running, Betty. You give me a big kiss and I'll send you a telegram every day, even all the way from Fairbanks in Alaska.
You sure about this, Will?
I just sit and look at the scenery. You do all the work, Wiley.
Weather report said the fog is impossible.
Well, what do you think?
I think we can do it.
Wiley, if it's okay with you, it's okay with me.
Then we're off. We've been going in circles the last 20 minutes or so.
Wiley, over there, a hole in the fog.
I see it.
Looks as flat as my polo field down there.
Well, there's a tent or an igloo. I'm going down.
You think this is what Greta Garbo had in mind when she says, I want to be alone?
We're not alone.
Well, what do you know?
Hello. You speak English?
Speak little teacher, Sunday school teach.
Well, we're trying to get to Barrow.
Barrow.
You know Barrow?
16 miles. Maybe not so much flying plane.
Thank you.
Say, what you fishing for there?
Fish for seals.
Well, have a good catch. Nice to meet you.
You come back with good.
If we do, I'll bring you a recipe for chili. So long.
About 16 miles. Didn't take more than a few minutes.
What's that?
I don't know.
You got gas?
Should have.
The other tank.
It's on. No good, Will. No good.
Tail's dropping.
We're gonna hit. We're gonna hit.
In 30 years, there have been three tragic deaths that have had one unique thing in common. People still remember where they were and exactly what they were doing when they heard the sad news. The three men are President Kennedy, President Roosevelt, and Will Rogers. Will Rogers once said that all he knew was what he read in the newspapers. But no newspaper ever taught him how to make a world laugh and love him. He communicated with people everywhere as no man before him or since ever has. America was a part of Will Rogers. And somehow he embodied the very spirit of his country.
This has been another portrait in an American gallery. Today, The Man Everybody Liked, starring Pat Buttram as Will Rogers. Featured in the cast were Forrest Lewis, Nelson Olmsted, Jack Edwards, Carl Swenson, Athena Lord, and David Gothard. Sound by Gene Twombly. The story was written by Robert M. Young, produced and directed by William Lally. Art Ballinger speaking. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.